tonight we're going to start the program slightly differently because I have a very special guest, and most of you know him on the morning breakfast, Mr. Nick Gooch. Welcome to Capital Country.
Hello, Colin. Thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome. Now, Nick's got two hats. He's not only a presenter, he's also on our technical committee. So he gives us a bit of an update on what's been happening with our FM service.
Yes, we've had a few problems, Colin, as our listeners will be aware. The issue is, of course, that someone damaged the fibre optic cable just before Christmas. We went up to Bickley and we transmit through Bickley through fibre optic cable. And someone, not very far from here apparently, has damaged that cable. So what happens is that the transmission still goes through the cable, but you get that gap. And then when the transmission catches up, you get that honking sound. But it disrupts everything. I think our Facebook girl said it sounds like a duck with a kazoo. That's probably not a very apt description. But yeah, that's what is happening. So we're at the mercy of Telstra or Telstra subcontractors with this. We can't do anything. We're broadcasting perfectly from here. For your information, if you stream on the on your computer or on your phone or any of the community radio apps, you will receive us perfectly because that is done by Wi-Fi, and that will work lovely, and you will find that you won't get that gap. But until Telstra actually repair that fibre optic cable damage, we're going to be honking.
Yes. And a bit of annoying for those who are on FM, but at least there is that alternative if you have a computer or a smartphone that you can gain access to the app that way. Now, before you found fame and fortune as a Capital Community Radio presenter, what did you do for a crust?
Well, I did very little. In actual fact, for 40-odd years, I worked for the West Australian Police Department.
And what prompted a charming young gentleman such as yourself to do such a thing?
Well, as you may have noticed from my accent, because I arrived here in 1972 from good old Blighty, I didn't really have any great skills, so I was living in rented accommodation, and the police department then, of course, were taking quite a few people, and part and parcel of the deal was you went to the country where they provided you with accommodation.
Oh,
off I went to it took me 5 minutes to learn how to spell, my God. That was one of the reasons why I ended up in the country. It gave me accommodation. I had no one else over here at the time, and it provided me with a career basis, if you like. And I'm not complaining about it. It was a lot of fun, but it was also very eye-opening for someone who came from the south of England to suddenly be logged in the middle of Mayfair.
In very hot conditions. And so what kind of preparation did you have? It's like going there, did you say, look, Mick, this is where you're going. Good luck, son.
No, not quite. I did the academy for 3 months from January the 1st, 1973, until the end of March, and then I did a spell in Central Police Station until one day I wandered in there and the sergeant called me in and said, Michael, I was Mike in those days, I wasn't Nick, I was Michael, and I said, you've been transferred, son, because you're single. And I said, oh, well, where am I going? He said, Mayfair. The elder sergeant says, I spent 3 years in Mayfair, didn't do me any harm at all. And I said, oh, thanks very much, sir. I said, all right, well, how do I get there? And he said, well, it's on the 475 Dial Peg on the Great Northern Highway. And I said, oh, how many days do I get to get up there? He said, I'd have gone 475 miles an hour, I would have fallen off the end. And he said, you'll see it when you get there. Just stop. And sure enough, the first thing you see as you came into town was the petrol station on the right hand side. from the police station was from the left-hand side opposite the commercial pub, so it wasn't hard to spot. But if you went through another 300 yards, you were out of it.
Oh, gosh. How long were you up there?
About 2.5 years I've been up there.
Oh, wow.
And I joined that, the traffic branch for when they changed over to the RTA, so I came down and behind the banks and cries, I think I probably caused more than I but they gave me a motorbike, so I had a form of transport as well. So I enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah. So did you notice much difference between the country policing and the city policing?
Yes. Of course, in the city, you have the ability to call on other people to help. For instance, you know, you go to the fighting at the pub, which was not unusual in those days, on pay week, because we were starting to do the Great Northern Highway, patronise Great Northern Highway, just the other side of Mecca. So the camps come into town on the short weekend, and because they had too much booze and stuff like that. And so they put two of us on. There was only four in the whole town, so two of us were always on Friday and Saturday night. So you had to go down there and quell a riot, whereas in Perth, you would have been able to call up back up from all around the suburbs. So you were it, you and your 12-inch baton and your handcuffs. Go and quell that riot, not a problem.
So country practice copper, Frank. What was his name? Frank Gilroy. Yeah, easy compared to you guys.
Yes, and he also had a rather attractive looking body, didn't he? We were up there on our own, and of course, police associated with nurses and school teachers, because they were all the single people got sent to the terrible town. So I say Megafair was a terrible town, because once you got into it, it was fun. There was a lot of things to do there. You don't realise what a beautiful country it is, and the different things. If you get in with the right group, if you just go and sit down the pub in your off-duty time, I mean, that's the thing. You've got to meet those kind of people that just drift in and out. But it gave me 5 years' experience in 2.5.
Well, that's saying a lot. Mick suggested 2 songs that remind him of his time. So Charlie Pride for when he was in Megafair, and one other location he went to was Broome. So here's 2 songs that Mick requested. Songs that remind Mick of his service in some rural towns around Western Australia, the Pickman Brothers with Nowhere Else But Here, and Charlie Pride with Wonder Could I Live There Again. And his mix just told us about his time in Megafair, and one of the other places you were at was Broome, and you got to meet the Pickman Brothers.
Well, the Pickman Brothers were just sort of forming, I think, when I was up there. That would have been around about 75, 76, 77. They were playing in the local hotels, and had some various carnivals. And you could tell in those days they had talent. They were good, and very entertaining for their age. And you could see that they were going to move up in the world and do all right, you know.
Yeah, sort of the pacing like up in Broome compared to Megafair.
A lot different, because the people up there in the Kimberleys, I think, were a lot freer in the country up there, and the atmosphere was a lot different. You had salt water, you had fishing, you had, you know, people lived on the coast. There were things to do. It was Megafair was a little bit. You're stuck in the middle of nowhere. Some of the people liked it, or they were hiding from things, but there was a lot more activity. The people there seemed to be a lot different. And of course, there was various communities there, Bevel Bay and Lombardina and One Arm Point. And
they were all happily living their good lives, living off the land, living off fish, and of course you picked oysters off the rocks. It was absolutely marvellous. And then the white fellow took my first daughter all that. I spent a good 2.5 years up there. It was very enjoyable. I travelled all over the Kimberleys, worked in Halls Creek, Burby, Fitzroy Crossing, Cunanara. Great time for a single boat in those days.
Yes, and the distance between slight call-outs would be quite significant.
I think there was 18, 19 people in Broome, so they had a little bit more. But of course we fed the country stations, so a lot of the single fellows went off to the country stations for relief duties when the regular fellow went on holiday, so there was only ever 10, 15 people in Broome at the time, but we operated 17 hours a day, so there was two shifts and all this, that and the other, and we had to have a very big counter staff and the traffic section as well, so it was there was a lot more to do there, and you were responsible for a lot more things, and you had a court to run as well. The big Broome court, right opposite there, what was the old police station there, and you had to go and run the court every day, or Monday to Friday, anyway. So there was a lot of other things to keep you occupied, and you worked 6 days, 1 week, 5 days, another. So it's and that was the attraction north of the 26th. There was a little bit of extra money for that. It was a place I nearly stayed at. After coming from England, it was my idea of utopia. I got offered a couple of things up there. Well, I couldn't have stayed there in the place for the length of time. No, I came back to Perth and joined the COB. Dr. Music Break immediately. I had a little week there.
But what was the best and the worst things about being like a country copper?
I think probably you're more in touch with the people. In the towns, you got to know the people you were policing, whereas in Perth, you get to know the people that bring in the police station for whatever reason, they've been bashed or they want a license, or you don't get to meet the people that have no contact with police for no other reason. So you could go into the shop up there and you could talk to someone. But you mightn't see them in the police station, but when you saw them down the street or at the post office, you knew who they were. And that was a great thing for the country. It was, all the single blokes and the nurses and the teachers and all got invited to things on the weekend, whether it be duck shooting out at the Gabba Inca Pool or fishing up at, Fisherman's Creek out at Broome there. People knew you were in town doing the job, and invited you to things, because you come back to Perth, and you're very insular in your station.
Yeah.
You only get to meet the people who come and bang on the counter and make a complaint, or the ones that you have to wrestle to the ground with,
back
into the lock-up.
Country people certainly know how to entertain.
Oh, yes. You didn't have to overindulge in anything, but a lot of people did. A lot of people got into trouble that way. It was like one big pub room, if you want to use the word comic. And everyone knew everyone. You couldn't go over there. You didn't have any stretch of the imagination. If you wanted to go down the street and tickle the mermaid, everyone's going to know about it. But that's all right. In that way, it was, everyone knew what was going on, but the fact is that it was all-encompassing. You did things with and for the community. Even the average early, there's some traffic people amongst them, they weren't all ones you arrested, and some of them you arrested for the simple reason that protect themselves. When you look back on it in retrospect, we did them a great disservice, really. I'm not pontificating, but really, when you look at the way they were treated, taken off the stations, given their drinks and rides, all this and the other, in retrospect, it wasn't right.
And would you recommend country service to any young copper that's just signing on or thinking of signing on?
Well, not only for the accommodation, but for the, to learn your job. And of course, recently, in the last 10 years or so, they've been recruiting from overseas, and almost everyone who came from England and went to a place like McAfee and thought, what the hell am I doing here? So we've had a lot of English people that come in, and some of the best times they've had is they've gone to Tom Price, Paradu, up in the country, Leonora. There was one went out to Laverton a couple of years ago. Had a ball. They really enjoyed it because they weren't constricted like they were in England. I mean, there's 56 million people in an island that were fed in three times in West Australia. And the big thing they say is, I can't believe how much space you've got over here. It was good life, treated them well.
Oh, good. Well, thank you very much. We'll let Nick go home and get his dinner now, because I'm sure he's gagging for a cup of tea. So thank you very much, Mr. Nick Gooch, for sharing your reminiscences of country life as a country copper. And don't forget to tune in to Nick's program on Thursday morning at 6 a.m.